Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the 23 Podcast. Wherever you are, whenever you are listening, thank you so much for making us part of your day today. My name's Parker Kern. I'm here alongside me, as most of the time. Almost butchered it with my good friend, our pastor, Father Jeff McBeth. Father, what's up?
Oh, yeah, I don't think anything in particular. Just
hanging out.
Just fine. Yeah.
You ready for April?
Yeah, I think so. You
ready for April?
Okay. You know, I'm, try to live in the moment, but, you know, I'm always, you know, of course, April brings, you know, all sorts of things, Holy Week, Easter, all that kind of confirmation. There's a lot of great stuff coming up in April. So
really is.
Which is exciting. So, yeah, I think, but yeah, other than that, just floating along. Yourself?
Good. Yeah, I love April. I mean, my dad's birthday is in April. Marissa's half birthday is in April. We still do half birthdays. I don't know.
No. I don't know if we've talked about this before. Sometimes,
I think we have.
As a joke, I'll throw in my half birthday, like just for fun. Or that I don't celebrate my half birthday, but I like will tell people I'm like 46 and a half years old or something like that.
Let's see, yours is what, November?
Yes.
Yeah. And we're anticipating your birthday, you know, in April, like the whole month. It's like the advent of Father's birthday.
That's right.
So we're, you know, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Exactly.
No, but then obviously liturgically, I mean, last year, granted, it was in March, but whenever Holy Week happens, it's just a really special time.
Yeah.
And I could just remember, like, as a kid experiencing it for the first time, and there's just like some, I don't know what it is, like some magic that just happens, or like you, not, I would say magic, but you know what I mean? Like there's just a feeling that you get and you sort of realize the gravity of what's happening and what, you know, though it's the same per se mass every year, like you get a different, you get the same kind of flavor from it.
I think God gives us those graces to enter into the spirit of what it is. So starting with like Passion Sunday, and then moving through the Triduum, and then you know into Easter. To what you're saying, I sort of, you can feel that same spirit, you know, each on those different days, you know, which is neat.
Yeah, it's really cool. Even after, I mean, all these years, it's just like every year, it's just like almost like it's renewed or something.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, which I think was why we do it every year,
for sure.
You know, is great to circle back, enter back in. You know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, good. In the meantime, we do have a night of worship coming up.
We do April 2nd.
It's a Wednesday. So these are great. You know, if you've never been, so it's not mass. It's a kind of praise and worship holy hour, basically, but with a witness talk. First, it's always great to hear how God moved in someone's life. You know, it just edifies our own, you know, faith, I think, and gives us more cause to praise God.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll just have that and some worship. During that time, we'll have some priests available for the Sacrament of Reconciliation. So it's kind of like this whole big power hour, which is great. So that's Wednesday the 2nd of April at 7.
It's going to be
in church. Yeah. Be great. And we have a couple more priests available than we did for Advent.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of learned. Yeah. Which is great. It's nice when more people than you're expecting show up. It's a nice problem to have.
That is
unless
true.
Unless you're last in line. Then there's just more opportunity to pray.
Yeah. You're there till like 10 o'clock.
More of a penance. Yeah.
Turning the lights off.
Yeah. No, he was joking. But it's probably later than we want. But we're trying to mitigate that. But yeah, it'll be great.
Good for you. How many priests this year?
Like 7.
Oh, 7.
See, the thing is, we've also learned that we can't have stations in church because it's just too loud. So we got to squirrel away people in other places, not in the main body of church, which ends up kind of limiting what we're able to do. But, you know, we're finding ways. So
innovating.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's great. You know, yeah, the one in Advent was great. But, we'll... So yeah, April 2nd. It's great. Night of
April
worship.
April 2nd.
Night of worship for Lent.
It's not. It's sweet. The day after April Fool's Day, probably on purpose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you're right, it'd been bad to do it like on the first. Like, is it really at 7 o'clock?
Right. No. 6:30.
It's at 7 a.m. Wink, wink. So yeah,
that'd be cool. Early morning.
Someone might be here at that hour. It's just not me. Yeah. So, instead of night of worship, it'd be like morning of complaining.
Morning or, of...
It's all dark.
Right. No, well, kind of like we talked about last week, you know, you're not a morning person.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest morning... I've had to make myself a morning person.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually used to be a really good morning person when I was in high school, and then I just stopped.
Yeah.
And I went to college because I didn't schedule morning classes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I just kind of got out of it.
Yeah. I gave that up for Lent 1 year and then stuck with it.
Yeah. Now that... Yeah. Well... You gave up going to class, or you gave up scheduling early class?
Being a morning person.
Oh, okay.
It's a permanent transformation.
Hey,
kind of like what Lent's supposed to be.
I mean, I was going to say, like, that's not the worst thing. You stuck with it, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can get up, obviously.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
It's just not my ideal.
Yeah, you gotta let yourself, you know, it's like starting a car. You're not gonna start your car and then immediately merge onto the highway at 70 miles an hour. Like, you need to let it warm up.
Exactly.
You need to have it run for a couple minutes, let the RPMs kind of come down, and
right.
You know, and then you gently take it out of the garage and drive about your day. You don't just hammer the throttle right away.
Yeah, some people can do that maybe, but I cannot.
Yeah.
No. So yeah. Or at least not with my complete awareness.
I feel it. Yeah. You know. That's even worse if you're driving and you don't have an awareness. I get it.
Yeah, no, it's not good. Yeah.
So,
yeah, anyway.
Wonderful.
All right. And finally, just hopefully this is in the bulletin, just throwing it out there, we have dates for Vacation Bible School, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
It's in June. I can't remember the dates offhand, which is why we have it written down in places like the bulletin.
Okay.
So you can consult that. And, of course, we need a lot of volunteers, which we had last year, which is great. It's just a good week. So just mark your calendars.
What's the theme this year?
It's like the first full week in June. I don't know.
No Dragon Steamboat this year?
It might be. That's the Dragon Slayers.
Yeah.
We do have Dragon Slayers, which I'm sure Ricky Steamboat doesn't like.
No.
But that's coming up actually like maybe next Saturday, which is great for our second graders. You know, it's like a pre-First Communion retreat. The extraordinary mission people do, Dr. John Wooden family. It's awesome. God bless them for doing that. They're so great.
Wonderful.
So yeah, that's one of the other great things coming up.
Great.
But this Sunday we have, for our gospel, like one of my favorite passages. I just love this so much. It's so rich. It's usually known as the parable of the prodigal son. The word prodigal means excessive and wasteful, which he was. But really the most prodigal one in here is the father, and he's kind of lavish in his mercy and forgiveness. I've been going to this conference every year for Encounter Ministries, and there's always a talk on the Father's heart, and this passage is always like the part of the main body. Even though different people give the talk every year, they always use this when talking about the Father's heart. And actually, I was in our little parish library down in room 103 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I just happened to glance over and saw this book called Abba's Heart.
Oh, wow.
By a guy named Neil Lozano, who's known for the Unbound stuff. And, of course, then he uses this as his jumping-off point, too. So this is an amazing parable about the Father's heart, and, frankly, just our hearts as well in relation to that. And it's just awesome.
Fantastic.
I had to take a little sip of water because I'm just I need to...
I
need to get ready. Oh. Yeah. So this is from Luke chapter 15. So in Luke 15, there's like three parables about lost and found. Two are simple and shorter, you know, the sheep, the coin, and then the third is the extended cut.
Right. Unabridged.
Yes, totally unabridged. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but no one gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying from hunger. I shall get up, go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. His father ordered his servants, quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, and yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf. He said to him, My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Yeah, what strikes you in particular?
I mean, for me, it's really there's a ton. I think the interesting thing for me always when I hear this is the older brother who's like, "What do you mean? Like, he gets this, but I get nothing."
Right.
Like, it reminds me of I think it's movie Caddyshack. You know, when they're playing golf and I think the character was Judge Smales. His grandson was playing golf with him, and he was like, Grandpa, I want this, and I want that, and I want a hot dog, and I want a hamburger. And then the character says, You'll get nothing like it. It's a very good clip there. But anyways, for me, it's interesting because, you know, I think sometimes that happens to us too. Like, kind of last week we were talking about, oh, bad things happen to good people. Mm-hmm. But this week it's more like, good things happen to bad people?
Right.
Like, hold on a second. I've been following the rules. I've been doing everything great. Like, how come you are, you know, advancing in line faster than I am? Or how come you get a hand up on me?
Right.
Because I've been doing this dutifully for years, months, whatever, and whatever that it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think that happens to us too. And sometimes I find myself doing that even with, you know, in regards to anything. Sometimes I just, you know, I'll ask God, like, I mean, like, why, sometimes like, why not me? Or, you know, why this person? Why not me? Like, if things don't, you know, ever don't go my way one time, I'm just like, what happened? Like, but I think we have to remember that, you know, in the context of this story, that there's that the father really is God.
Yeah.
Right. And no matter what, God is going to celebrate us always, especially when we have sort of a conversion.
Yeah.
Like the prodigal son did. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that, you know, I'm sure if we make mistakes, you know, God is not going to necessarily look past that, but he will celebrate us when we are, you know, when we're found, when we find ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a certain question of fairness in here, which is not
God's
sense of fairness, which is great. Yeah. And, you know, it just reminded me too of Bishop Barron. You know, he talks about the Christian life is not about finding God, but letting ourselves be found by God. You know, it's that letting ourselves be found, you know, which like the father running, you know, before the son, the younger son even knows he's coming.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. I was thinking too of actually like back in Jesus' baptism, you know, especially like we had that feast back in January, part of the Christmas season. I talked about, you know, for me, Jesus' baptism, it shows identity and access. Mm, you know, like, this is my beloved son. And it was before he did anything, all his Jesus stuff, you know, but he doesn't earn it. It just is declared it to him. But then he has access, you know, like the heavens stayed open and he still had the Holy Spirit, you know, and he kind of saw what, as he says in the gospel, sees what the Father is doing and does what the Father does. And so I hear it, there's like, I think identity and access that both the sons miss out on. Because right, the older son's like, the younger son hasn't really earned it, you know, but part of what happens here is that he's declared a son again. That was part of the thing about putting the robe on him, you know, and the ring and the sandals. And so the older son's like, I've earned it.
Right. Yeah.
But neither, like the whole point is we don't earn our place in the family and we should live out of that. You know, but we don't earn it, or dis-earn it, I guess, if that's a word. But then access, like, you know, you've never even given me a goat, you know? And the father's like, everything I have is yours.
Right.
Like he has access to everything, but asks for
nothing.
For nothing. You know, but tried to, I wrote this down from something I read, probably in that Neil Lozano book. We try to earn what we're afraid to ask for.
Oh.
Yeah. So like God's a giver. That's part of the point of the story. Like he just gives to the younger son what he asks, even though what he asks for is completely shameful, really, ridiculous. I mean, all these bad things. If you think about it, but the father gives because that's what the father does. So we don't have to earn it. We just, in some way, we just need to ask for it. You know, all the good things that he looks to give us.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, tactically it's funny, not funny, but like how bold of the son to just be like, hey, I want all your money now.
Yeah.
Like just give it to me now.
Well, and then the inheritance.
Right,
you know, exactly. Which is what we get when someone dies.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. I want all the money when you die.
Yeah, so I'm going to, you're like dead to me.
Yeah, I could imagine doing that to my parents. Yeah, they'd probably throw me into the lake behind their house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think, that's just, it's like you said, like you're dead to me. It's insane that he had the gall to do that. But again, it probably made it that much more special for the father when he saw that he was coming back.
Yeah.
Knowing which, that, you know, basically he had turned heel on his dad.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was down and destitute, basically. He was down so bad that he had to, like, literally come crawling back, hat in hand, eating crow, whatever metaphor you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, obviously the father loved him and embraced him and probably knew that he was having some problems.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, obviously he knew that he had blown through all the money.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was about the money.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't about that for him. And I mean, that's something too, you know, we make sacrifices for other people and sometimes, you know, we just do things for others based on,
parents sacrifice all sorts of things for their children and it's not because they've earned it.
Exactly.
You know?
And then that same thing happens for God. I mean, he gives us blessings, not because he needs it, but because he knows that we need it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and of course, part of this, I like this passage is teaching about sacrament of reconciliation. I mean, whenever we sin, we blow our inheritance in some way.
Pretty much.
Big or little. We sort of blow our inheritance, and in our mind or heart, we've set off to a distant country. But the Father runs to meet us, you know? And so even in confession, and sometimes I even tell people this, like you think like it's just all on you to have come here today, but that's just responding to the grace of God, and like the Father's already been running out to meet you. I mean, that's like the super powerful part always for me with this, is that he was looking for him. You know, his son who said, I wish you were like dead, or you're dead to me.
Right.
Was looking for him and ran off to him, ran to meet him before he even knew he was seen.
Yeah.
And that's like the soup, like the most powerful part, you know. And he has this rehearsed speech, but we don't have to put an act on with God, you know. You know, he.
But
just,
that's really his act of contrition, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. So what I right, and it's true. I have sinned against heaven, against you. So in his rehearsed speech, he says, you know, I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. And so he gets through part of this speech, but the father cuts him off
right before
he gets to the part, treat me as you would, you know, one of your hired workers, because he's not that.
Right.
He's not a hired worker. He's a son, you know, and so are we, the sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. And when we go off to a distant country, you know, the father's running to meet us. And that's just so amazing.
Yeah,
I'm like almost tearing up just talking about it.
And then
that's how good God is.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and when we come back, whenever we find ourselves, it's...
Yeah, and the older son, rather than celebrating that, also didn't understand the father's heart.
Yeah.
And the father's mercy. And so really, the son is treating himself like a hired worker because he thinks he has to earn it all.
But he doesn't.
By working.
But he doesn't.
And the father's like, everything is yours.
Yeah.
Like you're here. Like you're like in the family. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So yeah, the older son, he's a sad character too. So, but the father loves them both. And he goes out to both of them and wants them both to come into the house. The one, of course, does, although he probably has to like relearn what it means to live as a son. The older son, from what we have, you know, we don't know if he ended up coming back or not.
So, I'd like to think he did.
Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so. But yeah, I guess we don't know. We don't know. That's part of the, kind of like with last week's parable, like we don't know if the tree ended up getting cut down or not, because whether it bore fruit or not, we don't know how this one ended either. Like a lot of Jesus' parables, they end
yeah,
well, open-ended, you know, so that we can think about that more and put ourselves into it more, and it's not like a really tidy, nice little story with a beginning, middle, and end. There's no end because we're meant to live that.
And then everyone went home, and they went home happily ever after.
That's right. Yeah. So, So the story is epic.
Very epic.
And it's so good.
Indeed.
So
indeed. I'm just ready for the homily this week.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, you could go on and on. You know, it's kind of like that wedding at Cana. Like, you know, there's so much to unpack with each, almost with each line or each, you know, little series of lines. So, good thing everybody will be sitting down.
We will be seated for that one. We will be seated for that one. Let's pray, Father.
Oh, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that you love us so much that no matter what, you have a heart for us. So especially as we're still in this season of Lent, help us to know that you are running out to meet us, that you're bringing us back. With your invitation to renew our place in your family when we've forgotten about that and gone off, that you celebrate our return and that you look to renew us in your love. And so, God, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. And for those who maybe are feeling like they've been off in a distant country, know that the Father is running out to meet you and desires to embrace you and bring you home. So again, God, we thank you for your love for us. Sustain us this day and each day in that love in the Holy Spirit and through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you so much. Great show today.
Thanks, Parker. Thanks, Luke, for recording this parable. And God bless you all, and we'll see you soon.